Amanda Cook has released her second album, Deep Water, on Mountain Fever. We're going to talk to Amanda about the album, about the decision to become a full-time musical performer, artist, recording artist, and why this album came about. Interesting story. Amanda's a wonderful person. You're going to enjoy talking to her and all the choices that went into this brand new album, Deep Water. Really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass Amanda Cook for the first time. How are you, Amanda?
I'm good. So glad to be with you this evening.
Me too. I'm glad to finally get a chance to talk to you. We've wanted to do this for a while, and I've played your music. The most recent album that I have of yours, Amanda, is Deep Water on Mountain Fever. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah, and that's what we want to talk a little bit about that. Well, I also want to talk about a little bit about your upbringing and your exposure to bluegrass. This being your second album, this is always an intriguing process to me, how an artist like you approaches their second album. But let's start off with you're from Florida. How did you get into bluegrass as a child?
Well, my dad is a banjo player, and so I grew up around the music, you know, toting after my dad, playing regionally. And when I got about mid-20s, I started playing in a group with him. I was married very young and started a family very young, so I had to kind of wait, you know, and before I could really play music, you know, as I wanted to. You have to raise the baby first.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, so I played with my dad for about 10 years and really enjoyed it and learned a lot, you know, being around the music and being with him, and then decided to, well, it's time for me to, you know, do something on my own. But bluegrass has always been a part of my life, and Latin Scruggs, and my dad's very traditional, so, you know, I grew up with the greats, so to speak.
There's a lot of great bluegrass that's from or at least centered in Florida.
Yeah. Florida gets discounted a lot. There's a lot of great music. There's a lot of great bands coming out of Florida, really.
You know, in of all the places that Tony Rice has been, I think of some of his most productive times is being from the time that he was in Florida, and he played all kinds of music down there. Mark Johnson's still down there. A friend of mine plays the open back clawgrass style he's developed. There's a lot of great bluegrass acoustic music in Florida.
Yeah, we do have to travel a lot, you know, to get festivals. The festival scene's not really hopping down here, but as far as a jam, you can always find a jam. If you want a jam, there's one to be found.
I guess that's true. I guess you have to at least get off of the peninsula to get into the festival areas, right, in the south.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm from the furthest corner of northwest Florida as you can get.
Okay.
So I'm basically in Alabama.
Okay. Yeah. This album then is Deep Water, and so you did your first album. You made that jump from being a mother and a family and just kind of getting and waiting your chance. You did that. Then Deep Water is your second album. This one's on Mountain Fever. First of all, let me congratulate you on the album. It's really, really nice, really well done. Good choices, I think, you made all the way around the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And you have so many great... I tell you what's always a good mark of a second album to me, the collaborators that you have. Tom Utz, Jerry Sally, you pick up a Gillian Welch, a David Rawlings song. So you have a nice blend of deep, deep, passionate love songs, heartbreak songs. You have Caleb Meyer is kind of a scary song.
It's
dark, to say the least. It's the opposite of No Rhyme or Reason, which is the second song on the album, which is a nice, you know, hey, we don't know why we fell in love. Beautiful story about happenstance and meeting and the relationship development. Caleb Meyer is not like that at all. How did you choose that song?
No. Definitely a broad range of songs.
You do. Go ahead.
But that's what I was going for, and that's kind of always been my goal in being in the creative part of an album. That's what I wanted to do, stepping out, you know, from the family band and going on my own, was I wanted to be able to do that, to be able to create a sound of my own and be able to pick the songs that I wanted to do and have a broad spectrum of, you know, every song that I picked for the album, you know, I loved it. I loved each song, and I like the songs that tell stories and, you know. So this, I felt like when I picked the songs for Deepwater, I was picking for everybody. You know, everybody could find a song on there that they would like. Or I hope that they would.
Well, I think you did a good job, and I appreciate that, because I look for those things as I'm listening to an album. I look for the things that would make me question why you made these choices, and I think you're answering that really well, exactly what the purpose was, because there's a great mix. We were laughing about the difference between Caleb Miller and maybe No Rhyme or Reason, and Cry Cry Darling's a classic song that you put your touch to, but everybody will recognize the tune, but you've kind of made it your own, and a wonderful voice, absolutely wonderful voice. So there's a great mix of stuff on there. I really enjoy it.
Thank you. Yeah, Cry Cry Darling was one we picked because I felt like I had to have a traditional, you know, I had to have a traditional tune. And when we came home from recording, my dad was actually here at the house, and when we got here, I said, "Dad, you've got to listen to the, you know, the tracks." And I said, "I put this one on there for you, Dad." You know, and he was just beaming. You know, he was so happy that I, you know, still stuck with a traditional tune there.
Well, you got to do that. You got to do that. And you have your train song. You have Midnight 402 is what my note says. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Yeah. It's funny, we and you have that, and you have I can't even read my own Banks of the Big Bend. So you have the train, and I find this a common thing at bluegrass bands. And I don't know if it's the travel issue or what, but trains, certainly trains, and the part that they played in communities and how they did more than just connect you physically, they actually connect your memories. I think right. is the way I would put it, and that's what the first song on the album does. And then with Banks of the Big Bend, that really is reflecting back to that simpler time that we all either wish we had or did have and do remember, or maybe can still cling
right.
to.
Yeah. Well, and that song really spoke to me. You know, Caroline had written that years ago, and it was telling the story of her childhood, and when we started playing that song on stage about 4.5, almost 5 years ago, and people just responded to it because it told her childhood story, but it told mine too. It's the story of living on the banks of the Big Bend here in Florida, you know, and it was just a story.
Well, it is. I mean, it's in me too. It touches me. I didn't live in Florida, but I lived around a lot of lakes and rivers in Kentucky, and it's the very same thing. And Caroline, let's say Caroline's name. We talked about it off the air, but make sure we know who Caroline, because you co-wrote a song with Caroline we'll talk about in a minute.
I did. Caroline Van Lierop is my banjo player, but she's also my partner in crime, my freaking frat. We started the band, you know, together. She was one of the founding members of the group with me, and we write together and we arrange. We do, a good 90% of all the arranging, and we just do everything kind of together. She travels with me, so so it was just a natural fit for her to, you know, write, songs for the record.
Well, it's the perfect song, because I like this theme. And I'm glad that you borrowed it from her, and it touches you, it touches me, it touches the listeners that, you know, yeah, when it doesn't have to be when you're a child. It is for me, because those things had happened, and that song happened when I was much younger, as far as, you know, you're out, you're fishing, you're doing this, you're going in the, you're, whatever, you're outside doing stuff, and the days seem so much longer now. When you think back to when you were younger, the days seem to last forever. When you get older, it's like, oh, it's dark again. But those days, we filled every minute. We filled every minute and every second with something that made a memory for us. And that's what that song does to me. And I love the way you sing it and put it on the record. The arrangement is also gorgeous.
Appreciate it. I'm thrilled with it. It's actually the single that's out right now, and it's doing really well. I was so proud for Caroline, because she was written for years. She's very young, but very well-rounded musician. And she's, you know, finally got her first cut on
good.
The radio.
Well,
so,
good.
Yeah.
And on this album, Big River is also one of Caroline's.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's touched at least three songs that we know of. And I want to talk about Deepwater, the title cut, which you wrote with Caroline. That to me is a very affirmative You can talk about it because you wrote it, but I think I know what you're going to say. But let's talk about Deep Water, the one that you co-wrote with Caroline, who we've been talking about.
Well, the first record that I made, it was like that dipping your toe into the, you know, the process and just learning about making a record. And so my One Stop Along the Road was just more of a learning experience for me. I didn't really know that much about production or really what went behind the scenes. So One Stop Along the Road was kind of like my first step.
Mm-hmm.
Into the, you know, professional music business. And then Deep Water was, okay, I've done this first record, and here I am, so now I'm going to really step off. I've got a record label, phenomenal record label, that is backing me, and here I go. I'm going to step off into this, you know, big river,
yeah.
big pond.
You're stepping into the big water.
Right. Yeah. And so it was kind of my interpretation of where I was in my career and where I'm going. You know, I've been through a lot to get here. Starting later in life is, you know, it's harder, you know, for some of us. And so that was kind of my interpretation of setting off the career into this next step.
And then I think, and my favorite line in that song that you wrote with Caroline is to the effect that you're going to win your own way. I'm going to win my way.
Right. Like, I mean, I don't want to be like anyone else. I mean, I think that's what all artists aspire to. You know, you want to be your own person. And I'm a very hard worker, and I really am dedicated, you know, to what I'm doing. And I eat, sleep, breathe it. So I think, you know, that line was, you know, exactly that. I want to do all of this on my own, you know, and make a way, make a way for this to happen. And we did. We went through a lot. You know, I was a banker for 16, 17 years. I was a bank manager, and I worked a 9-to-5 job and played music on the side. And then we literally just, I came home one day, and my husband was like, okay. And I quit my job and went full time. So we did literally step off.
You step. It's like when you're walking into, not so much the bank of a river because you have the flow, but in a pond, and you're not sure,
right.
And all of a sudden there's a drop off, and you're like, there you are underwater.
Right.
So, and you're gonna
yep.
It's one of those shocking. If you're not familiar, it's one of those shocking feelings. And but I think what you're saying is you're gonna get back to the shore your own way, and that's what Deep Water, the song, and then you, of course, you use it for the title of the album. So I think it must mean something special to you in the way you're describing it. I think I'm right in that assumption. That's neat.
Yeah, it definitely was a thing that I aspired to. When I did the first record, I knew I wanted to be with a label. I wanted to have that, you know, I wanted to have that backing behind me to have that next platform. And when I met with Mark, and I thought, this is not, you know, this isn't real. It's not going to happen, that kind of thing. And I was over the moon when, you know, when he signed me to the label, and it has just taken off. I mean, I truly am very humbled and grateful for Mountain Fever for what they've done for me and how much they work for their artists, you know. So it was definitely a stepping stone.
I will tell you this, Mark Hodges is works nonstop. I hear from him. I get a lot of information about his artists and the artists that he deals with at Mountain Fever, and I think you're right in. And I don't say this about every label, but I do have a lot of contact with Mountain Fever, which means this. On behalf of the artists, they're making that extra step to keep reminding people and let people know.
Absolutely. I mean, they work hard for us, and if we work hard for them, they work hard for us. You know, it's definitely a two-way street. And, you know, I think that it basically you can aspire to do whatever you want to do if you're determined and able to dig down and do the work to get there. I mean, that's my motto.
That's good. No, that's good. I think you're hardworking, and you've talked about, you know, waiting your time and biding your time and finding the opportunity, never giving up on the dream. Let me ask you this, because the audience, Unreal Bluegrass, will recognize that just not long ago, I finally was able to speak to Jerry Sally, and Jerry Sally enters into Deep Water at some point. I want to talk to you about a little bit about his involvement or how you got to meet Jerry. I know he wrote Liar's Moon, one of the songs on the album.
He did. I was pulling material, and I got his contact information, you know, to the grapevine. That's one good thing about bluegrass. You know, we're all really a big family, you know, really and truly, especially all the bands on our label. And we help one another. And, you know, I put out the word that I, you know, I was looking for material. And I got this message from Jerry Callie, you know, hey, I heard you're looking for material. And I almost wanted to die. I'm like, I'm going to call Jerry Callie and talk to him on the phone, you know.
Jerry, and for the listener, explain Jerry's one of those guys that's always out there, and he's like this source of wisdom and good taste. So I'm hearing you say the same things that I think that other. Yeah. I've told people on the show, there's probably not a show that goes by where some artist doesn't mention Jerry Sally's name in that same vein.
Yeah, well, he's just an amazing songwriter, amazing musician, and I respect him because I feel like he has the same work ethic. He's very hardworking. He's still going out on the road. He's still playing gigs. Mm-hmm. He's still meeting fans. He's doing all those things that we're doing, and at the same time, he's a perfect gentleman. You know, he's very respectful, and of everyone he meets, he's just a great guy, you know, and I've respected him just from his music for years, you know, listening to, you know, his material. And then knowing the songwriting ability, you know, I was just blown away that he was willing to, you know, give me a song and say, hey, do you want to cut this? I was like, this is not real. But Liar's Moon, I had actually driven to a friend of ours house here outside of Pensacola, and he actually wrote he had written the title track to my first record, and I went over, and he had gotten some stuff that Jerry had sent him via all those conversations. And I left, and he'd given me a CD, and Liar's Moon was, I think, the second or third track on that, and the demo. And Jerry had literally just thrown it down with his phone, and him and a guitar, and sent it to me. And my husband, who at that time, my husband wasn't that much involved with the song selection part of it. He was just dipping his toe into getting interested in listening to what I was bringing in as far as demo. And we listened to Liar's Moon, and I said, that's going to be a cut. And he goes, how can you tell? I said, I just know. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that's a cut. And, I mean, it was one of the first ones it was on the list, you know, from that day forward.
Well, and Jerry has nothing but good things to say about you.
Oh, yeah. I'm humbled.
It's a great song. It's one of the sad. You have sad relationship songs, and you have mm-hmm. the No Rhyme or Reason, which we've discussed a little bit. Magnolia, is it Magnolia Wind? I'm trying to read my note. Is that the name of it? Or?
Magnolia Wind.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's one of those. If I ever stop wanting to do this with you, and then I must stop doing everything.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's kind of, I'm really short arming it there, but that seems to be such a connection that that's one of those deep abiding loves, and
I was afraid to. I was actually afraid to cut that song because, you know, Sean Camp, mm-hmm. You know, really made that popular. And when we played the Station Inn last year for the album release, I was just, you know, I said, I can't believe I'm fixing to sing Sean Camp's song on the stage at the Station Inn where he sang it for one of the first times. You know, I'm like, I can't believe I'm about to do this. And
so you're having a lot of fun. You're having a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like a kid going to Disney World when I go to IBMA. I mean, I'm counting down the days, you know.
It's coming up.
Yeah, we getting in bluegrass and following these people for years. I mean, you know, Adam Steffi, you know, I loved his mandolin playing for years. And then we played Song of the Mountains in March, and we shared the stage with the Highland Travelers, and, you know, Adam Steffi's backstage, and I'm like, I gotta go up and talk to him, please, to shake his hand, and I was just, you know, it's that fan stardom thing.
and for the listeners, they probably know Highland Travelers, if that's kind of Adam's new band.
Yes.
Yeah, they know, but I just like to draw. I make sure they follow us when we're going, because I play his music on here, but yeah. So you meet Adam Steffi, who has been around for a long time at a high level. So you're still going through those phases of You know, here's Jerry Sally on the phone. There's Adam Steffi backstage. So I'm thrilled that you're having so much fun because you're doing it so well. It doesn't come off as that you're overwhelmed by your circumstances or the people. It's like you fit there very well.
Well, I try. Maybe I put on a good front, David. But I'm still in that still in the surreal stage where you know, every moment is precious to me in this, and I think. You know, I hope that this feeling lasts for the whole entire of my career, that each moment is precious, that you get to meet those people you admire and hang out with people that you've watched, you know, since I was a kid. Don Rigsby, you know, ran into him and at Sigma. And, you know, I feel odd that I can just walk up and talk to them and, you know, Larry Stevenson hug my neck and, hey, have you talked to Don? This is not real.
and then Amanda, once you get to know them, you realize they're just regular people just like you are.
Right.
Yeah. Same kind of people.
And bluegrass, that's the thing. You know, I've had interviews and I've had people ask me before, well, you know, country music, you know, is out there and you can do country if you wanted. And I'm like, well, yeah, but no, you know, I love the family of bluegrass. You know, there's just nothing like it in the world. Not country.
No. Yeah. But you're right. It's family. That's the best way to describe it. I wanted to talk about this song too, Till I'm Too Old. It's a very now you could tell me why you chose. Maybe I should just let you describe why you chose Until I'm Too Old to put on the album. I have an idea, but I want to hear you.
Well, again, it's one of those things, and that kind of goes along with that last, you know, conversation with the taking every moment and regarding it as a precious memory of what I'm doing and living now. Till I'm Too Old tells that story.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. You know, I've sacrificed and made it this far, and I'm going to do this until I'm too old to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm in the line.
Exactly. You're living in the moment, and I think that it also, the song to me and is like, I'm not sitting still, but I'm content. What I'm doing is like you said, I'm going to do this because this is great. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm content with where I'm at right now. I'm just going to. There's no reason to vary, you know?
Yeah. It seems like it just was meant, you know, and I think the Lord always has a plan for us. And there was a reason that I didn't have the opportunities in my early 20s
to
do what I'm doing now.
That's right.
You know?
Because you may not have seen it coming. You may not have appreciated it. You may not have recognized the value. Well, we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
That's nice. So you speak about those opportunities, and then that leads us right into Come to Jesus on the album.
Yeah.
You know, that song. Tell a little bit about that song.
Well, Come to Jesus was actually written by Mindy Smith, who is a country artist.
Right.
You know, and I had heard that song many, many times as soon as it came out. And I can't really remember what year it came out, but I remember I had an iPod at the time. So it was one of those where we didn't have it on our phone yet, you know. So I transferred it to my iPod and I listened to it over and over. And when we were coming back in to do a range in Caroline and I had gotten together, and I told her, I said, hey, let's listen to this song. Let me let you listen to it because the words of it just have such great meaning.
They do.
And she listened and she said, well, it's really, we're really going to have to work on an arrangement because it has like a really edgy rock feel at the end of the song, especially. It's very rock. And so we just sat down with it and, you know, played with it until we got the arrangement, you know, that we recorded. And it has that kind of, it doesn't sound like a gospel song.
No,
dark. Yeah.
I was going to say it doesn't, but it has that message to it that, you know. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
And one of our biggest crowd reactions, you know, we played some big festivals in Palatka. Palatka specifically, I was worried because it does have more of an edgy sound, but the crowd response was just over the top for Come to Jesus. So, it, you know, again, I picked a good one, I guess.
I think you did. You know, you did. Those things that always intrigues me about artists like you, I'm talking to Amanda Cooks, the choices that you make to fill out an album, the very personal choices that you make. And Come to Jesus is not an over-the-head gospel song. But you're right. It's like you describe all these issues, and hey, here's your solution.
Right.
You know? So it's a nice one to have on here. Like I mentioned early on, Tom Utz, and Mylon Miller, a couple of my favorite songwriters, and you have a couple of tunes from that Tom has touched on this album. And the last one I have is Leaving Louisville, which is probably the most up-tempo song on the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have a waltz. I have written down that, which one was the waltz in my mind? I have to read my notes, which is always a sad thing for me. It might have been the Magnolia. Well, it was Magnolia Wind, I take as a waltz. Mm-hmm. Then you have the more up-tempo Leaving Louisville. So you really made a nice selection. And I don't think an artist would ever say, I'm trying to please everyone. You're not. That's not what this album is. It's not. I want to try to, you're making choices that are personal to you, right?
Right. I think about, go back to my dad, you know, think about, well, you know, I know his face is far different than mine, you know, and you're not trying to please everybody,
No. But
you want to be able to appeal to more than just one person, you know, and that's kind of the way I think of it when I'm going through and picking. And I do pick songs that speak to me, but I think about the fact of the tempo,
mm-hmm.
and the phrasing, the story that it tells, you know, what kind of different people could this speak to?
Mm-hmm.
And like No Rhyme or Reason, we talked about that. That's a true love story, you know, and that probably wouldn't be something my dad would just hone right into, but like Leaving Louisville now,
yeah.
He'd be down for that because it's banjo driven.
That's
right.
You're right. It is banjo driven. Let's talk about this. Well, let's talk about some of the musicians you have on the album. I didn't mention that. I want you to go through some of those.
Sure. Well, I spoke about Caroline.
Mm-hmm.
Caroline Bendler, banjo player. The good thing about this record, and one thing that I love to be able to say, is that the majority of the musicians are my touring band.
Oh, good.
So Caroline's my banjo player, and George Mason is playing fiddle for me on there. And he's from Gulfport, Mississippi, you know, not too far from me. And then that time, Scotty French, he was playing guitar for me. He's since moved on, and he's doing some country stuff, but he toured with us up until last May.
Okay.
And then you've got Aaron Ramsey playing mandolin.
Good player.
He engineered and produced Deep Water, so it just worked, having him, you know, as part of that. The way that we record it just worked so well. And then Jeff Parton is playing bass, and dobro on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's all of them.
Well, that's enough. That's enough. Listen,
yeah.
Amanda, it's easy enough to find you online if someone just plugs in Amanda Cook. They're probably going to be able to find you. Bluegrass, that'll probably get on there, right?
Yeah, there is another Amanda Cook out there.
I know. That's why I said Bluegrass. Put in Amanda Cook, Bluegrass. That'll find you.
Bluegrass.
There is another one, and she's a singer. I don't know what she does, but it ain't you.
Yeah, it's not me.
No.
But, yeah, AmandaCookBluegrass.com. And if you any of the social media, it's all kind of listed that way, Amanda Cook Bluegrass. So
okay.
It will bring up all the social media and all those things.
Yeah, and then they can find this album, they can find others, mm-hmm. other merchandise, they can find out where you're going to be performing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you get all the tour dates. I found out a little neat trick on my phone where I can add a tour date on my phone and it goes right on my website.
I had to learn that trick somewhere. Are you going to be in Raleigh this year? I mean, we talked about it coming up. Are you going down this year?
We are. We're actually an official showcase band for RBMA this year.
Good.
So, you know, just another one of those dreams come true type thing.
Well, I tell you what, we'll meet again somewhere wandering around. I just kind of wander around while I'm there, and my board duties are over the first 2 days. I just kind of wander around. I think that's how I met you last time, and I remember seeing the album, the CD cover, and the fact that you were partially submerged in water of questionable origin. Beautiful picture.
Well, It was, you know, and I've had a lot of questions about that, too, because people just assumed that that was Photoshop. Well, I beg to differ. I actually did float in a scummy, nasty, swampy pond right here down from my house.
Well, you made it real. And I looked at it, and I thought, it's a beautiful picture. And my daughter's a photographer, and I thought, I knew it wasn't Photoshop, and I thought, that means you have some water in your ear.
Yeah, I had water up my nose at one point. Just submerged to take, you know, like an underwater shot. It just didn't get used, but I did have to go in the water and get that in my mouth.
You're dedicated, Amanda Cook. You're dedicated to your craft.
Yeah.
That's fun. All right. Well, listen, Amanda Cook, thanks so much for joining us on Unreal Bluegrass. Talk about deep water, and I've enjoyed it so much. I look forward to seeing you down the road, at least in Raleigh. That'll probably be my first time to run into you. So.
Well, thank you so much. And we have next week is a big week for us. We are actually going in the studio next week to record another record. So we're keeping the train rolling.
When do you think it won't be, what, till 19? It won't be this year, do you think?
No, we're actually looking at releasing a single sometime in the fall, and then releasing the record in the January, probably.
Okay. All right, well, I'll find it when you release it, and I'll make sure that it gets on the air. Amanda Cook, thanks so much for taking time to speak with me a little bit.
Steve, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you.
All right, see you, bye.
All right.